Hey, if you have your Bible tonight, let's open it up to the book 1 John again. 1 John, tonight will be in chapter number 1. 1 John, chapter number 1. 1 John, chapter number 1. I'm excited about what God has already been doing. And I promise you, remember last night, I promised you that if you allow God to work in your heart, God will. Now listen. Just because God works in your heart doesn't mean you're going to choose to, well, obey however God does work in your heart. So let me ask you tonight, let me encourage you this. In a moment, after we read the Bible and we stand and pray, would you pray quietly? You know, did you know you are, it's okay, you are allowed to talk to God. Did you know that? Did you know that you're allowed to be just as close to God as your pastor is to God? Did you know that? That is okay with God. So don't expect to be close to God later if you're not going to choose to be close to God now. But tonight, would you ask God not just to point his finger in your heart, but would you also promise God that however God talks to you, you'll be willing to respond to him at the end of the night? Would you do that? 1 John, that's where we are tonight. Let's all stand together. The book of 1 John, 1 John chapter number 1. We'll read probably some familiar verses to you and I, but I trust that tonight the Lord will give us a fresh perspective. All right, 1 John chapter number 1. Let's begin reading in verse number 4. Would you follow along with me as I read 1 John chapter 1, verse number 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from, and then the next word is, all sin. Keep going. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Tonight I want to preach you on this subject, how to be set free. Father, I pray that you help us tonight. Father, if there's something in my life that I have yet to see and get right with you before this service, I pray that you point that out now. I don't want to be a hindrance to your working tonight. And Lord, I thank you for working in our hearts, beginning last night and even some today during the Practical Christian Living and the directors. Father, I pray that you would continue your working. Now, Lord, I ask that you would bind up the enemy. Tonight, he's going to want to distract and he's going to want to blind us to our own issues that you talk to us about. And so I ask, Holy Spirit, would you do your work tonight? May I yield to it. May you convict of sin and convince of Jesus. I can do neither. And I'm asking tonight that when these dear people, these new friends of mine, when they leave this service tonight, would you help them not to remember this preacher, but the God that I serve. And I ask this tonight, the only way I know how, through the name and through the blood of my Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Several years ago, I was preaching in Clinton, North Carolina. We were having a big teen crusade. I think I mentioned about a particular teen crusade we were having maybe last night or this morning. I don't remember which. But we were having a big teen crusade. Again, we're all offering pizza. And we were playing a big ball volleyball game and big ball basketball game. And I had gone into the town to try to find teenagers and invite them out to this. So in the south where I'm from, there's a restaurant called Bojangles. Now, if you have never been to a Bojangles, you're missing out. But I'll try to explain it to you tonight. It's one of these restaurants that you walk into, and if you stand still just inside the door, I mean absolutely still, and you shift your weight, you'll slide to the other side of the restaurant, okay? That's how greasy it is. That's just part of the southeast of the United States, all right? I walked into Bojangles. I really wasn't going in there to get a Bullberry biscuit or anything like that. I was in there looking for teenagers. Well, I found a young man, and the young man's name was Greg. I said, hey, Greg, listen, man. Tonight at the church, we're going to have pizza, all you can eat. Then we're going to have a game with the six-foot big ball. I think that night we were playing big ball basketball. And I said, I'd like to invite you to that. And then at the end of the night, a preacher is going to get up, he's going to open his Bible, and he is going to tell you how you can know for sure when you die, you wake up in heaven. I said, I'd really like for you to come. He looked at me and he said, yeah, I think I'd like that. Well, that night, he came out, he showed up. He had so much fun. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a teenager be so excited about something he'd never seen before. I mean, he had seen the pizza, but you would have thought he'd never eaten like that before. I mean, he was stuffing his face with pizza. He played a six-foot big ball game. He was smiling ear to ear. He thought it was the greatest thing in the world. Then at the end, we had preaching from the Bible. I was not the preacher that night. Another preacher got up, he opened the Bible, and he preached how you could be forgiven of sin. You can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Well, that night, Greg sat there, he listened to the preaching, but at the end, when we had an invitation to simply respond to God and put your trust in God, he didn't move. You could tell he didn't understand everything, and some different individuals talked to him afterwards, and he just didn't understand how much he needed Jesus. Well, the next night, Greg came back. This night, he brought a friend with him. His friend's name was Michael. Both of them got out of the church van, and I was excited to see Greg again. I said, hey, man, it's good to see you. He said, yeah, me too. He was so happy to be there the second night. He bounced off the van, and he went into the ball field. I mean, just like that. I barely said hi. And this other young man came after him. I mean, the most miserable young man I had seen in a long time. I finally figured out his name was Michael. Michael didn't smile whatsoever, but at least he had come, and I was thankful for that. I said, you know, Michael, I'm glad you came tonight. He said, yep. I said, Michael, how long have you and Greg been friends? A couple hours. That's a new one to me. I've never heard that before. I said, really? I said, how'd that happen? He said, I was walking home from school. That guy came up to me. He said, hey, man, you want to go to church tonight? I said, no. He said, you got to come. He said, you got to come hear a preacher tell you things about you that you thought only you knew. I thought, well, that's interesting. I said, well, I'm glad you came. He said, huh. I said, hey, we're having pizza. You want some pizza? Nope. Teenager that didn't eat pizza. Are you crazy? Something's wrong. I know something's wrong. We played big ball. I think that night it was big ball volleyball. And he just kind of stood there, wasn't really interested. Then we had the preaching, and the two guys had only been friends a couple hours sat together. They were sitting, I don't know, maybe about in the third row on the end. And the preacher got up that night and again preached from another part of the Bible how you could be forgiven of sins and you could be on your way to heaven by simply trusting Jesus. Both young men listened that night. I mean, they were glued into the preaching. And then, again, we had an invitation. The first young man, the guy I had met in Bojangles, he bounced out of his seat during the invitation. And he bounced to the back. I mean, it's kind of like Peter. I mean, he was just back there. A personal worker took him aside, opened the Bible, and began to show him how he could know for sure he's on his way to heaven. Michael, the second young man who had just met Greg a couple hours before, he didn't move. Not one one inch. He just kind of sat there like a bump on a log. And then after the service, everybody's kind of leaving. And he's just kind of, I mean, you can tell he's thinking about things. And so I went up to him and I said, hey, Michael, listen, I'm really glad you came tonight. Remember, he has not been glad he's been there yet. But then he finally looked at me and he said, yeah, I think God wanted me to be here tonight. I said, well, that's a really good start. I said, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. I said, if you were to die tonight or 5 years from now, no matter how you died, where would you wake up? He said, I don't know. I said, do you think it'd be heaven or hell? He said, I don't know. I said, have you ever put your trust in Jesus, that Jesus is the only way to heaven? Jesus is the only one that can forgive your sin. He said, no. I said, would you like to see from the Bible what Jesus says? He says, sure. We walked into a back room. I opened the Bible and I began to go through how Jesus says you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Some of what we mentioned last night. Some of what we mentioned this morning. He listened. He didn't smile. He wasn't tuned in. Nothing. But he was listening, even though it didn't seem like it. I got to the end of explaining how you can know for sure you're going to heaven by just trusting Jesus. I said, Michael, have you ever done that before? He said, no. I said, would you like to? He said, yes. I wanted to say, tell your face, but I didn't. So he sits there, and I said, well, listen, maybe it's time that we talk to God. He said, okay. Well, he closed his eyes and didn't say another word. I didn't know what to do. I just sat there. And waited, and waited, and waited, and waited, and waited. Finally, he opens his eyes. So, what happened? He said, I talked to him. I said, good. Who? He said, I talked to God. I said, okay. I said, and? He said, well, I did what the Bible says. I told God I was a sinner. Of course, he already knew that. And I believed he was my only way to heaven. I said, great. And I said, and now what? So I don't know. I said, let me ask you something. If you were to have died before you came tonight to hear about Jesus, where would you have woken up? He looked at me. He said, hell. I said, if you were to die now, where would you wake up? For the first time all night, he smiled. He said, heaven. I said, why? He said, because I did what the Bible said. I trusted Jesus. I said, that's great. We walked out in the gravel parking lot, and when we walked out there, he looked at me, and he said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He said, why is it that so many people say that they have what I got tonight? They say they're on their way to heaven, but they live like they're not. I wanted to say, hey, buddy, I think God just called you to preach. I didn't say that, but I thought it was a pretty amazing question. We began to talk about some of the things that are in the Bible, and as we stood on this side of the parking lot, me and Michael, I'll never forget, on the other side of the huge gravel parking lot, a back door of the church opens up, and out walks the first young man. You know, the one that kind of bounced throughout everything? He stepped out with the counselor that had opened their Bible and showed him how to go to heaven. These two men, these two teenagers, had never, ever, ever, ever been in church in their entire life. They had never heard of Jesus outside of a curse word. They didn't know what was proper and acceptable in church. They had no idea. We're standing in the parking lot. I'm talking with Michael. I'll never forget. Michael, he looks over and he says, hey, man, what happened to you? Greg on that side of the building throws up his arms and he says, I'm free. You say, what's that mean? Well, I think Greg meant it twofold. Greg understood that Jesus had taken all his sins on him and he was on his way to heaven. But I think he also meant, I am so free. My life will never be what it used to be. Young person, understand this. Jesus is big enough to give you a home in heaven because Jesus died for you. but Jesus is also big enough not just to set you free for heaven, but to keep you free from sin so you can walk with God every moment of every day of your life. So can I ask you tonight, are you free? I mean, truly free. Let's ask it first this way. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? If you do, that's the most amazing decision you could ever make. If you don't, you can trust Jesus tonight. Some of you this morning, you indicated by the simple, quiet raise of a hand that you've been struggling with doubts on whether you have assurance of salvation or not, whether you really know you're on your way to heaven or not. At least 8 to 10 hands went up in this building this morning that says, I just don't have it settled. You need to be set free from those doubts tonight. Some of you raised your hand last night and you did not slip out. Maybe you talked to a counselor, but maybe you didn't later on last night or today. And if you were to die tonight or 5 years from now, you have no idea where you'd spend eternity. I'll never forget. 10 years ago in this very building, a young lady sat halfway back. And we preached all week how you could be set free from sin. You could be forgiven of sin. You could make sure that when you left camp, you were on your way to heaven. All week she listened to Bible preaching. All week she knew she was a sinner. And all week she continued to choose to reject Jesus. The last night of the week, she's sitting on that pew in the back. And she began to reel as we talked about heaven and hell. She began to reel and go back and forth, and you could tell she was in agony of heart. You could tell she was bound in her sin. And I'll never forget, we had not even gotten halfway through the message, and she bounced out of her seat, and she ran toward the dining tent, and the counselor chased after her. Later that night, she let go, and Jesus forgave her of all her sin. Some of you don't know what it means to be set free because you've never trusted Jesus. And those of you who are set free from your sin for heaven, for some reason, you've gone back and you've picked up the chains of sin that Jesus set you free from. You say, does that mean now I'm not going to heaven anymore? Don't forget the truths of Scripture we looked at earlier today. Once you're going to heaven, you're always going to heaven. Once you're going to heaven, you can never lose eternal life. But there are many of God's people who know they're on their way to heaven, but they have forgotten how much freedom Jesus offers them from all of their sin. In the book of 1 John, it's amazing what Jesus says. Notice what he says in 1 John in chapter number 1. He says in verse number 4. Notice, he says, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Last night we talked about peace. And some of you want peace so bad, but you don't even know Jesus personally. He's never forgiven you of your sin because you've never trusted him. Don't ever expect to have peace. Some of you want joy so bad, but you don't understand that the only person that can offer you joy is Jesus. Instead, you're choosing to hold on to sin. You say, well, I know I'm on my way to heaven. Isn't that enough? That is enough for heaven. Jesus is always enough for heaven. But the Christian life is not just about knowing you're on your way to heaven. The Christian life is about being set free from sin so that you can walk with Jesus, so that you can please Jesus, so that one day when you stand before Jesus, and you will, you can look at him and know that you have been obedient to him. Young person, some of you are looking forward to the range this week or to the 22 shooting. Some of you maybe need to take notes what it means to miss the target. You know, when you shoot at a target, did you know that the object is to hit the bullseye? Some of you are like, no, I thought it was to go. No. It's actually to hit the, did you know that? And did you know that when you miss the bullseye, this is not a Disney kind of light, so let me just shoot straight. You failed! You say, that's not nice. I'm sorry to burst your Disney bubble, but it's not all about you. Hey, listen. If you miss the mark on a target, you fail. And if you miss God's mark, you sin. You see, God's mark in the Bible is obedience. God's mark in the Bible, once you know for sure you're going to heaven, you've been set free from the flames of hell. Now God says it's time for you to live a life that pleases God. But some of you say, listen, I don't have to do that. I know I'm going to heaven. I can live any way I want to. Well, you can. You do have that free choice, but you won't please Jesus, and you won't have real joy offered in 1 John chapter number 1. Notice what else he says in 1 John chapter number 1. He says in verse number 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. In other words, in Jesus, he is all pureness, all holiness, and you will never find sin in Jesus. Then why is it that so many of God's people who say they love Jesus so much choose to live in sin day after day after day? Some of you, you're comparing your life right now to somebody else in this room. And you're thinking, well, I'm not as bad of a person as them. Get this. When you get to heaven, your life will not be compared to everybody else's life. Your life will be compared to the Word of God. There are three books in heaven we read about: the book of life, the book of man's sin, and the Bible. Did you know you'll be judged in heaven by the Bible? So maybe it's time that we just start obeying God's word because God said it. But some of you, you think, hey, listen, at least on the target, I cut paper. If you cut paper on the target, but you miss the bullseye, you still fail. If you want to please God, but you think you can just please God some, not all the way, you still sin. Get this. Sin is not an oops. Sin is a conscious choice to disobey God. I've heard this for years. Most of the time, it's talking about somebody who is famous, usually a famous preacher, and people talk about how wonderful they were, and then they say something like this, oh no, pray for them, they fell into sin. Have you ever heard that in church before? I've heard that for years. I really, really don't like it when people say that. Because we get the idea that the poor guy was walking along one day, minding his own business, not hurting anybody, and all of a sudden, somebody left the manhole cover off and he fell inside. Excuse me, that's not sin. Sin is a choice to disobey God. And some of you want real joy in Jesus, and you want the best life you could ever have, but you're holding on to sin. You're holding on to the filth, the pornography that you're looking at. You say, wait a minute, Brother Glenn. This is not a split session. I don't have to preach split sessions anymore about pornography. Because honestly, it is equal statistics across the board, guys and girls. And even in Christian schools, even in churches today, statistics say that by the time a young person is 5 years old, over 90% of five-year-olds today have already been introduced to pornography. You say, Brother Glenn, my parents have filters. 4 weeks ago in Idaho, I met a teenage boy. He came to me after the service weeping. He said, Brother Glenn, I know what I'm looking at doesn't please God. He says, I know it. I said, doesn't your family have filters on their computer? He said, yes. But I know how to get around it. And most of you know how to get around it too. You say, well, listen, it's not that bad. I just look at it a little bit. I mean, it's just in my room. In my opinion, anything that happens after midnight in your room by yourself will not please God. You say, I am tough enough, I am strong enough to have my own phone. That's a bunch of baloney. Young person, I don't trust myself. Some of you need filters. And some of you need to get rid of the phone. I'll never forget standing at a campfire service years ago in the bottom of West Virginia. And a young man coming up to the fire holding a brand new iPod. That was before everybody had iPhones. He had a brand new iPod. He had music all over it. And he said, it's not what I'm looking at that doesn't please God. He said, it's what I'm listening to. He said, I can't handle this. I said, then maybe we can take off the good, the bad music and we can put good music on so you can listen to it. He said, I know me. I know that eventually I'll take off the good music and I'll put the bad stuff back on. He said, I can't handle this. He walked up to the bonfire and he went, threw it in. He said, oh, good night. I respect that young man for saying, I can't handle it. I need help. And I want to please God. Did you read what he says here in 1 John in chapter number 1? He will say in verse number 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In other words, there are an awful lot of people who say, oh, how I love Jesus. But they're not living like they love Jesus. Some of you say you love Jesus. You're even involved in ministries at your church. Or you're involved in nursing home ministries with your family. And some of you, you say you love Jesus, but you know the sin that you hold on to. You know about sneaking behind dad and mom's back. You know what you've been posting, what you've been looking at. You know where you've been going. I remember preaching a revival meeting in a Christian school years ago in Illinois. And I remember preaching from these truths, how you can be set free from sin. And I'll never forget two young ladies looking at each other after a run after school saying, do you think it's worth it? I don't know, but I think it's worth trying it out. And I can promise you this, to this day, I've met those two young ladies who were teenagers then several times since then. And both of them say, we had no joy as teenagers until we just chose to deal with our sin and then to follow Jesus. Some of you wonder if Jesus is big enough to forgive your sin. Hey, listen, if he could forgive a murderer named David, and if he could forgive the thief on the cross, and if he could forgive Paul, who murdered many a Christian, then I dare say he could forgive you. Get this, there is no sin too big that Jesus cannot forgive. But if you claim to love Jesus, yet you walk in darkness, you lie and do not the truth. Keep going. We must go quickly. Notice what he says in verse number, let's go to verse number 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then it says this, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from, what's the next word? What's the next word? All sin. Hey, get this, and don't miss it. Only God can forgive you of sin. You say, well, duh. No, no, no. Some of you are trying to get some kind of healing from your sin by being involved at church. That's not what you need. You need to be cleansed from sin and then get involved. Some of you are trying to add to your life certain things to take away the guilt of sin. Understand this. Only Jesus can forgive sin. Some of you say, I don't think I could ever be set free from sin. I don't think I could ever be as free as Michael and Greg when they trusted Jesus. I remember being free when I trusted Jesus. I don't think I could ever get back to that point because of all the sin that I've allowed into my life. And yes, young person, you will allow sin into your life when you choose to please self over Jesus. But when you come to this verse is so amazing that Jesus' blood was not just powerful when he died on the cross, but Jesus' blood is just as powerful tonight as it has ever been before. Do you know what Jesus is big enough to do? He's big enough to take your sin and to throw it as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. That's pretty amazing. Some of you who know at least some kind of geography and science, aren't you glad that he didn't throw it as far as the north is from the south? Eventually they'd meet up and have a civil war. But he threw it as far as it could ever be. He doesn't even remember it anymore. So maybe let's stop there for a minute and remind ourselves from God's word that when the blood of Jesus forgives you, the blood of Jesus also forgets your sin. Then why are you holding on to guilt? Some of you, you're holding on to the guilt of past sin that Jesus doesn't remember because he already forgave. What I looked at was so bad. I hate myself for that. Hey, listen, Jesus doesn't remember it. Stop bringing it up. Stop making yourself feel guilty if Jesus already forgave you. Now, if the Holy Spirit is convicting you, you need to listen. Keep going. Notice what he says in 1 John. Notice what he says in 1 John chapter number 1. He says in verse number 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's what the Bible says. If we confess. Who are you going to confess to? By the way, you don't have to confess to a priest. You don't have to confess to a preacher. You don't have to confess to your friends. You know what we do in our churches? A lot of times we do more announcements about sin that really should not be announced. It's almost like we glorify sin instead of the Savior. Hey, understand this. If you sinned against Jesus, confess it to Jesus. Because only his blood's big enough to forgive you. But then notice what it says. This is Jesus who forgives. This is the person of cleansing. But notice here that there is a problem with cleansing. It says, if we confess, that's the problem. You say, what do you mean that's the problem? If we confess, yeah, most of us won't confess our sins. We say, I will try to do better. I will try not to treat dad and mom so disrespectful. I'll try hard not to look at that filth anymore. I'll try not to do this or do that. I'll try to get rid of my pride. I will try to stop skipping church. I will try harder. Get this. You who have tried have often tried before and you find yourself still falling short. And you always will. The Christian life is not about you trying. It's about you trusting Jesus and walking with him. And here he says, if we confess. Do you know what the word confess means? I'm sorry. No, that's actually not what it means. You've seen my girls, okay? Just in case you missed it, my youngest, who's 5, is stronger than my oldest, who's 8. Just so you know. At home, guess who gets pinned to the ground? My oldest. Guess who pins her to the ground? My youngest. Guess who can swing an awful right hook? My 5-year-old. Guess who can give you a black eye and a bloody nose faster than any kid I know? My 5-year-old. And when my 5-year-old does wrong, I come to her and I say, JJ, that was wrong. Tell Audrey you're sorry. And she looks at Audrey and she goes, sorry. You tell me, was she really sorry? How about this? Did she really confess? No. Confession comes from two words. One word means same. The other word means word. In other words, the Bible says this. If we confess or say the same word about our sin as Jesus says about our sin, then he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Some of you need to call sin tonight what Jesus calls sin. Some of you need to stop calling your pornography and your music that doesn't please God and the way you treat dad and mom sneaking behind their back or mouthing off or rolling their eyes or the way you treat other people at church or school, the way that you just choose to hold yourself up as the best Christian in your youth group. Some of you just need to choose to confess to God, agree with God that your sin put Jesus on the cross. And some of you, you're going to look at it and say, well, my sin's not as bad as their sin. All right, fine. Go ahead and do that, but you'll never have true freedom in Christ. You say, well, listen, my sin's not that bad. I'd also be very careful to smirk and smile at sin that put Jesus on the cross. Some of you watch the filth on the TV, and you just kind of smile and smirk, and you think, I'd never do that. But you don't see a big deal watching. Young person, understand that what you think about, one day you will do. And what you do will eventually become a habit. And that habit will eventually become a lifestyle. All because you began to think about it. You say, I'd never be over there.
You remember the young man we heard during the director's hour? You remember that?
I'd never be there.
The only way you'll never be there is if you choose to follow Jesus. Because every single one of us is one step away from choosing sin. Notice what he says. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. That means he didn't change from when he forgave Paul's sin to when he can forgive your sin. He's just. He's the only one that can forgive sin. And then he says, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want you to listen very carefully, because if you don't listen carefully, you will misunderstand this. Listen carefully. According to 1 John chapter number 1, when he says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness, did you know that it is possible because of the blood of Jesus to be just as right with God as Jesus is with God? That doesn't mean you're perfect. That doesn't mean you are sinless. That means Jesus' blood is pretty amazing. All sin? Let me ask you, how free from sin are you? You said, Brother Glenn, I'm going to heaven. That's great. How free from sin are you to please God now? Brother Glenn, my sin is not that bad. All right. What sin, what class did you cheat in? Uh-oh. I think it got kind of quiet. I've heard this for years. Brother Glenn, I am homeschooled. Yeah, and you know where your mom's teacher's books are. Don't play dumb with me. I was homeschooled for a time. I don't cheat. Young person, just think about it. What class did you cheat in and you're still hiding your sin? Don't ever expect the joy he promised in the first part of chapter 1. Don't ever look at what he's talking about, freedom in Christ, being cleansed, if you won't just agree with God that your sin put Jesus on the cross. You say, well, listen, Brother Glenn, I asked Jesus to forgive me of a sin last year at camp. Why is it that I still deal with the same sin today, this year? Why can I not have victory? Understand this. When you choose Jesus over sin, Jesus is bigger than your sin. So instead of trying to get to next year without having to deal with the same sin, you need to cling to the one who is sinless. His name is Jesus. Now very quickly, turn over to Proverbs. And lastly, we'll deal with one more thing. The person of cleansing is Jesus. The problem with cleansing is we don't confess. But then you must see what comes afterwards. Notice what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28. He'll say in verse number 13, don't miss this. This really is included with the joy mentioned in 1 John chapter number 1. In Proverbs 28, verse number 13, the Bible says this, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Young person, you want to be successful? You want to have that joy offered when he comes to 1 John chapter 1? Do you want that freedom that Michael and Greg talked about when they trusted Jesus? Did you know it's just as possible to be free at salvation as it is to be free tonight? Maybe it's time to begin agreeing with God what sin is. Maybe it's time to confess before God. Agree with God that your sin put Jesus on the cross. And then here in Proverbs 28, he that covereth the sin shall not prosper. Let me ask you something. I need you to think with me tonight. I know this is summer, but think. Can you cover your sin from God? The very first verse my parents ever taught me was this.
The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Just think about it. If you have to teach a three-year-old that verse, that three-year-old has problems. Just so you know.
But I learned at the age of three that God sees everything. And if God sees everything, then why in the world would the book of Proverbs says you won't prosper if you cover your sin? Because some of you are covering your sin from people that deserve to know.
We're not talking tonight about laying open your sin at a campfire later on this week. That's not what we're talking about. What we are talking about is you getting right with God and then you getting right with those who you need to get right with. Some of you need to get right with dad and mom. You'll never be successful. You'll never have joy until you get right with God and get right with dad and mom. Some of you will never be prosperous in your life until you get right with God and then you get right with your teacher. You say, Brother Glenn, that's impossible. I don't even remember if those teachers remember me or what happened in that class. Young person, I was preaching at a camp in Wisconsin years ago. And at the camp in Wisconsin, I'll never forget, God was working all week. We saw young people getting saved. We saw young people getting right. But something was missing in my own heart. And I began to ask God by that late that week, I said, God, what am I missing? It seems like you're working, but it seems like I'm missing out on what you want to do in me during the service. Understand, when a preacher preaches the Bible way, God ought not just work through the preacher, but on the preacher and in the preacher. And guess what? God showed me some sin. You know the sin God showed me? That I was in Bible class, in Bible college, and there was one test, one time, and I cheated. I saw somebody's answer, and I put it on my paper as my own. You say, Brother Glenn, wasn't this point in time a long time after that class? Yes. The worst part was, I passed that class by 0.25. You had to pass with a C. I passed by 0.25. You know what that means? That means that potentially, if I call this professor and I get right, you know what that means? That means that they could go back in time, technically. They could fail that test. I could fail that class. I could lose my diploma. So what did you do? I need to cleanse you. I needed to get right, not just with God, who I got right with right after that class was over, but I need to get right with people who deserve to know. And that night I picked up my phone and I called that professor and I said, Brother, I need God's power when I stand behind the pulpit to preach God's word. And you don't know this, but I remember X number of years ago, I cheated one test, one time, one class, in your class. I need to get right with you. You say, what happened? He forgave me. That's what the Bible says. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You say, what happened after that? I stood in the pulpit and saw God work as I had never saw God work before. You remember the two young ladies I told you were on the run? And they said one to another, they said, hey, listen, do you think it's worth it to get right with God? Do you think it's worth it to be set free? Yeah, I think so. I'll never forget, one of the young ladies' name was Daisy. Daisy told me, she said, I went home, I found my dad and mom. I said, Dad and Mom, I've been sneaking out at night behind your back. Dad and Mom, I've been looking at this. Dad and Mom, I've been going these places. Dad and Mom, I've been hanging around these friends. The next night, she came to me weeping. She said, I got right with God. She said, God set me free. I asked her, I said, Daisy, was it worth it? She looked at me and she said, it was so worth it. She said, for the first time in years, I slept good that night. I saw her a year later at a camp I was preaching at in Tennessee. I said, Daisy, it's a year after you had told me about what God had done in your life. I said, what's happening now? She said, I have an incredible relationship with my parents and with my God. God has been doing such a work in me because I got free. How free are you? I said, Brother Glenn, I'm on my way to heaven. It's great. That's the first step to freedom. But some of you don't know you're on your way to heaven tonight. You have never trusted Jesus as the only way to heaven for you. Some of you raised your hand this morning, I'm dealing with doubts. Some of you raised your hand last night, I don't know for sure I'm saved. And you still don't have that settled. Young person, you need to trust Jesus tonight. He's the only way to heaven. But some of you tonight need to get right with God about your sin. The sin that Jesus had to die on the cross for. Some of you need to pick up a phone tonight and call Dad and Mom. Some of you need to get right and say, I'm scared of the consequences. What's more important to you, being set free by God's blood or the consequences that you might have to deal with? Young person, I want you to see one more verse and we're done. 1 John chapter number 1. We've skipped over two verses. Because tonight it'll be easy for you to say, I'm not as bad as them. My sin's not that big of a deal. I am not that bad of a person. All right, notice what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 1, let's read it. He says in verse number 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth, what is truth? That's not the question. Who is truth? Jesus. He's not in us. He goes on and he says in verse number 10, he almost repeats it. He says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. In other words, God said, you do sin. God says, I do sin. Don't make him a liar. Don't say, no, I don't, God. You don't know. Of course he does. He knows the inside and the out and everything in between. And it's time just to believe God. Know that I have sinned. I need to get right with God. And even though I'm a sinner, it says his word is not in us. You want freedom from Christ? It comes from Bible truth. You want freedom from sin? It comes from clinging to Christ. You want to see God give you the joy and make your life successful and prosperous, as it says in Proverbs 28:13, then it's time tonight to agree with God about your sin. The sin of what you've been looking at, the sin of where you've been going, the sin of what you've been saying, of what you've been posting, of what you've been thinking, of how you've been treating Dad and Mom. And I don't have to name your sin tonight. The Holy Spirit's better than me to ever name it. But tonight, are you going to leave this service set free? Like when he gave you eternal life. Or are you going to continue to try to hide your sin? That God says one day will be manifest to all men.